Welcome to Frickity Frack, We Do Talk Back. Thank you for joining me in this episode. My name's Patrick, and I'm Frack. Frickity Frack, We Do Talk Back is a show where I discuss different aspects of fandom and how they relate to the gospel. We'll be going through an episode of My Hero Academia and connected to teachings from the Bible. The name of the show comes from my dad, who dubbed my brother and me Frick and Frack since we were kids. So we're going to be going over the 45th episode of My Hero Academia, entitled What a Twist. And so for this episode, I love the title because it makes me flash back to a Robot Chicken joke about M. Night Shyamalan and how he always wanted to have a twist in all of his movies. So that's what I think. I was like, what a twist! But that's neither here nor there. So in this episode, there's some interesting things happen because the Force training arc basically wraps up here. So we get to see Vlad King, protect the students going up against the Dobby clone, and seeing that he controls blood and that Toga, takes blood and fights and becomes the person and things like that. Although we really haven't seen Toga's quirk by this point, other than that she wants blood. And so the same thing with Stain, where Stain, licks someone's blood and that person freezes. So I just think it would be an interesting, one-versus-one fight where, it's Vlad King versus Toga versus Stain, although Toga would team up with Stain in a heartbeat, so it would be Vlad versus Toga and Stain. But this is one of those things where we don't get to see a lot of Vlad King, doing a whole lot, because once again, he's not a main character, he's a supporting character, and he's already a professional hero, so that means that his skill level is already high, even for this time. So in this episode, we get, the students going up against the pro-villains even more so than we already had. And so with this episode, we see the difference in the skill level. Now, as a reminder, one of the things they talked about in the beginning of this invasion of the Forest Camp, that these villains weren't scrubs. Dobby, Twice, Toga, Mr. Compress, Mustard, Muscular, Moonfish. I know I was leaving someone out. And I'm sure there's, Magna. All of them are really good at what they do. They know how to use their quirks. They know how to fight. And so the students, and a lot of these, at the end of this episode, the Bakugo protection squad, they're some of the top tier students of Class 1A. And it's really great to see just their skill level difference in this moment. They're having difficulty. They're struggling. These villains actually know what they're doing. And so it was really great just to see this fight and to see how they're struggling against the pro villains. And so in this episode, Mr. Compress is able to help them kidnap Bakugo and take him away. They tried to get Tokoyami, but they were able to save Tokoyami, but Bakugo was not rescued. And so in this, we get to see the aftermath in this episode of trying to deal with this failure by the heroes and by the villains succeeding in kidnapping Bakugo. And so we get to see reporters, news outlets, and how they would cover all these different events. And so living in the world that we do today of the 24 hours news cycle, it's interesting to, kind of see this in a pretend world where, it's a world that we would love to be a part of. 80% of the world population has some kind of superpower. Now, does that mean that we get, we're all going to have great superpowers? No. But it's interesting to still see how a lot of these things work out and how they are still the same, where we have news outlets and things like that where they're going to cover this stuff, and Can we trust them to be unbiased? Not necessarily, but we can also look at it as, you know, how they cover events and can help us reflect a little bit on how news events are covered in our day-to-day life. And so during all this time, you know, Deku is narrating, we find out that he's out for a couple of days. And so what I find fascinating about this is that that means Bakugo is in the care of the villains for a couple of days. And you have to think about, like, what is that like for Bakugo? Honestly, what's that like for the League of Villains dealing with Bakugo for a couple of days? I mean, is he knocked out the whole time? Is he sequestered? I mean, it doesn't really seem like it. And so it's just one of those things where we have to really kind of think about, you know, therapy and trauma and things like that. So it's one of those things where you just got to think about, are we, you know, what were they going to give Bakugo to help him cope with all of this? And so it's one of those things that you got to think about. And Bakugo is tough. And I love his character. He's really grown on me throughout the series of My Hero Academia, into the most recent season, and then also what's going on in the manga. It's you know, I've loved seeing his character growth, and we're going to start really seeing growth in his character in the coming episodes. And so the last thing that I really kind of wanted to talk about was in the hospital as Deku is recovering. You know, all of his fellow classmates are coming to see him, at least the ones who can, because there are several that are injured. Some who are still hospitalized. And all of them have this strong sense of wanting to be heroes. And some are like, well, we need to be heroes no matter what. And then there are some who are like, no, we've got to follow the rules. There are certain rules in place for us to be heroes, and we can't do that. And so there's a discourse and a conversation between us as them as students and what it means to be a hero. And it's a really great conversation. And I when you watch this episode, really pay attention to them. And it's going to be discussed further in further episodes about all of these different things. And so it's one of those ideas and concepts where, what does it mean to be a hero? Is it always being following the letter of the law, or is it, you know, always making sure that you do what is right by your own standard? So that's one of those things that, you know, are you truly being a hero? And I think one of the best examples of you know, kind of even just in a way to think about these, those different aspects and what it means to be a hero is, and are you truly being a hero if you follow the law, or if, and only the law, or are you being a hero if you do what you deem necessary as a hero? Look at D&D alignment charts. You know, you've got the lawful good, and that, you know, the lawful good is like, all right, you know, I'm going to uphold the law and, you know, bring justice to everybody, make sure that everyone's treated fairly, and do good. Then there's the neutral good, where it's like, you know, you're not going to try and break the law, but if you need to do something, you're going to follow your compass. And then there's chaotic good, where, you know, a chaotic good person is just going to do good however they view it necessary. Like, I mean, if they, the best thing to do is to rob a bank to help other people, they're going to rob a bank. Think kind of like a little bit like Robin Hood. And so that's one of those things where we just have to think about, you know, what are they instilling in these students as heroes, and are we, and are they responding to it in the right way? So today's biblical theme comes from Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, and this is what it says. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. So as the forest invasion, as the forest training arc is wrapping up, we get glimpses of Momo working with another student, and they are trying to help the other students. Like Momo is the in this story arc is this behind the scenes MVP. She acts very fast, very quickly to create a bunch of gas masks for other students like Kendo and Tetsu, and if she hadn't made those masks for them, they wouldn't be able to take out Mustard. And then, so she goes around trying to help others using her quirk, because her quirk is extremely powerful. And then they come across the Nomo, and Nomo is like, we can't beat this guy. Like, between the quirks that we have and the injuries and everything like that, there's just nothing we can do. And so what she does is she thinks very quickly and creates a microtransmitter kind of beacon thing, and then has the other students slap it on him and meld them together, because that was his quirk. And so they come together in this time to do that. And so in the hospital, All Might and the police are like, you know, are praising her for her quick thinking, her decisive action, because she was described as indecisive and hesitant, you know, all the way going back to the tournament. She struggled. And because she was like, okay, I need to do this and this and this and this. And then all of a sudden, Tokoyami's beating her. I mean, and this is one of those things that kind of keeps going back to it. And so this is the culmination of her growth and not being indecisive. And All Might praises her and says that she is truly worthy of the title hero. I mean, you know, All Might's the greatest hero that any of them had ever seen, and he's their teacher. And on top of it, he tells Momo that she has earned the title of hero. I mean, if this was me, I would be like a hot mess, because I'd be like, oh my gosh, this is amazing, coming from the, you know, the world's greatest hero, and all these things, and it's just so great. And so I chose this verse because of that, because of what Momo has gone through. Momo has grown so much in these three seasons, and, you know, really two and a half, because we're barely into season three, and we're already seeing growth in her, because all she needed was just a little bit of encouragement to get out of her own head, and so she's done that. And so I chose this verse because one of the best moments of my life, and I'm the pastor of Richlands Methodist Church in North Carolina, and I'm seeing people grow in their faith and in the church and in the community. They're growing as disciples of Jesus Christ. And so I love seeing that growth in them. I love seeing how they are improving. They're growing as disciples. They're growing in the spiritual disciplines. They're wanting to participate and be a part of the body of Christ. Now, does that mean that for you to be a Christian, you can only come to my church? No, that's not the case. I see this in other people's churches as well. Like, I see good friends of mine who churches, they have seeing their church members growing and growing in as disciples of Jesus Christ. It's just a wonderful thing to experience as a pastor and as a fellow Christian. And so I think for us and for disciples of Jesus Christ, is that we are to be growing. And one of the best parts is feeding into someone else. And now I feed into people all the time as best I can, whenever I can. I'm not perfect at it. I'm not doing it 100% of the time. I wish I was. But when we feed into someone else, this is why Philippians 1 verse 6 was so important, is that it will be brought to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. So people are going to be growing. I'm going to be feeding into them. People are feeding into me, and I'm growing, and I might not even see the fruit of my labor in the love and care that I'm showing to someone, but that completion is going to be shown. Like, think about this. All Might hasn't done a whole lot with Momo, but he's gotten to see the fruit. But he knows what's going on with her, because, you know, they got teacher conferences and things like that where they talk about their fellow students. And so All Might knows how much she's grown, and he can see that she is, in fact, a true hero. And so I want us to be doing that for each other as fellow disciples. Feed into each other. Give of your time and effort to help them grow as disciples of Jesus Christ, because we're all called to do that. But also, most importantly, remember that we might not see the growth in someone else yet. We might not get that privilege, but ultimately what's going to happen is that they're going to grow and come in completion on the day of Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ returns, that's when the completion will happen. And so feed into people, help them grow, because what they're going to become, what a disciple of Jesus Christ is going to become, is going to be even greater than our wildest imagination. So I just want to encourage you to feed into others. And if you are needing to be fed, reach out to me and I will do what I can to help. Because that's what we're called to do. Can we do that today? I think we can. Amen. All right, so how am I going to rate this episode? There's nothing inherently wrong with it. It is a transition episode, so it's not filler. It's not, non-canon. Like, everything in it, happened to some degree in the manga. So there's nothing fillery really about this episode, but it's just a transition to the next stage of the story arc. And so it's good. I mean, is it an episode that I'm going to be like, you really need to watch this episode? Not really. It's important for the story. Definitely need to be watched for the story. But is it one I'm going to be like, to point to people and be like, okay, if you watch this episode, you're going to be hooked on My Hero Academia? No. So I'm going to give it a solid 4. It's a great episode. There's nothing wrong with it. Everything in it was important, was done well. It's just not one that makes me go like, woohoo, I watched an episode of My Hero Academia. It's a great episode, like I said. All right. So anyone with questions for me about the biblical lesson that I talked about in this episode, or any other discussion ranging from anime, comics, or just anything in general, feel free to email me at frickityfracktalkback@gmail.com. Or reach out to me on Twitter at FrickDF or at FrickDFrack on Instagram and Facebook. So please rate, review, and subscribe. Leave a comment in the comment below if you're on YouTube. And I think I do a pretty good job of responding in a timely manner. So feel free to reach out to me there. And especially if you're interested in discipleship, please reach out. Remember that I love you. Most importantly, God loves you. And go beyond plus ultra.